First hymn is number 419, I Am Thine, O Lord. If you will, please stand as you are able to. Thank you. If you will remain standing, and I'm sure it's going to be up here, but if you can't see that for some reason, or you just like the hymnal, it's number 881 in the United Methodist Hymnal, the Apostles' Creed, which will be our affirmation of faith. Let us recite this ancient creed of the faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time in our bulletin, we have our pastoral prayer, and there are prayer requests, of course, on the back of your hymnal. Does anyone have any that they would like to share with us that may not be on the back of the hymnal? All right, I have a couple myself that I'll share. As you see, this is kind of a new one, but Mary Ann Owings is on the back. I visited her Friday. She's over at Methodist in Oak Ridge, and she has pneumonia. And she seemed to be in pretty good spirits. If I didn't know she had pneumonia, I wouldn't have known she had pneumonia. She wasn't wheezing and coughing and doing all the pneumonia things that people do. But she seemed to be in good spirits, so we talked for a while, and I prayed for her, and we had a good visit. So if you will, keep her in your prayers. Also, if you can pray for my friend Mike, his father, this past week, I don't remember the day exactly, but he went to the hospital because he had a blood clot, and they tried to do surgery to fix it, and they said it's basically not fixable. It's too small, and so they told him it might be tomorrow, it might be 10 years from now, which is true for all of us, but when you hear it from the doctor, it has a different impact. So just keep him and his family in your prayers, if you will. And also, if you will, keep my friends Cody and Mandy in your prayers. Cody is another Methodist pastor. He's serving his first appointment. Today is his first Sunday, and anybody who has moved knows that nothing ever happens the way it's supposed to when you move. And on top of that, his conference apparently told him they would help cover moving costs, and he hasn't learned what many of us have learned, in that the conference will cover it, but it might be a little while before you get the money. So they're kind of in that place where it's like, you know, let's eat some ramen and some Vienna sausages and hope that the conference comes through. So if you will, keep them in your prayers as they go through this transition. Other than that, if no one else has any requests. All right, we got a few. Okay. Okay. All right. That is my birthday.
Really?
It is. Yes, ma'am. Okay. All right. Does anyone else have any? Yes, ma'am. Okay. That in our prayers as well. Thank you for sharing. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share? All right, well, if not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we can spend together in fellowship with one another and in worship of you. Lord, we invite your Spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt with your help to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank you for the honor of being able to pray for those who are on our prayer list. We also thank you that you are a God who listens to our prayers, who hears our prayers, who enjoys prayers and other forms of fellowship with us. Today, Lord, we especially want to remember Marianne Owings as she is in the hospital with pneumonia and some other complications. We pray that you would be with her and with her doctors and nurses and the various people involved in her treatment. Pray that you would help her to feel better and to be able to come home soon. And we also pray for her son as he is spending this time taking care of his mother. We pray that you would be with him as he travels and does the various things that are needed to help take care of her. Lord, we also want to pray for Leroy, who has kidney cancer and is going to have surgery this Tuesday. May you be with him, may you be with his doctors and his nurses and all of his treatment team. Help him, Lord, to come through the surgery well and to be able to recover quickly. And may he be cancer-free. And may you also use this time to strengthen his faith and the faith of his family and to strengthen their familial bond. We also, Lord, want to pray for unspoken prayer requests. There may be some that weren't mentioned at all, Lord. But for all of the prayers that we're not sure how to utter, maybe we've given up on praying for them, we ask that you would still remember them, that you remember all of those situations, Lord. We also want to pray for Sally with her inoperable brain tumor. May you give her comfort, strength, and healing during this time. May you help her, Lord, to cherish life. None of us are guaranteed any amount of days. But Lord, we pray that with the amount of days that we are given, we will remember the gift that is life. Lord, we also want to pray for the Jones family who are going through just some various things in their lives. May you strengthen their faith. May you strengthen their bond together. May you help them and guide them in these difficult times. And Lord, we want to pray for Mike, that you would be with him during these situations that are going on in his life. And also, Lord, may you be with Keisha. She also has a brain tumor, and with her family and with everything that's going on with that, Lord. May you help them to turn to you and to trust in you, even whenever everything tells them that there is no hope, Lord. May they have hope. Lord, we also want to pray for Cody and Mandy. May you be with them during this time of transition, and may you also be with Mike and with the Stallings family, with his father, as they learn to live with this specter hanging over their head. Lord, we pray all of these things and so many more in the beautiful and glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we pray together the words that he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I see our ushers are headed this way. At this time, we will worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Oops. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. As we prepare to give back of those gifts, may we be reminded that we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the giver, may you bless the receiver, may all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Thank you to our ushers. Our next hymn is number 530 in your United Methodist hymnal, and on the screen, Are Ye Able?
Crucified with me.
Thank you. If you will remain standing for the reading of Scripture as you are able to. Our Scripture today is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" He answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied and said, "A certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers. They stripped him and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. By chance, a certain priest was going down on that road. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. He came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him. Whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you.' Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands?" He said, "The one who showed mercy toward him." Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. I move around when I talk, so I have to come over here and wake up the choir sometimes and, you know, that kind of stuff. So I'll come over here and make sure that Clayton's not nodding off either. So the parable of the Good Samaritan. Everybody knows the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's such a well-known parable that it's become part of our language, right? We have Good Samaritans. We have Good Samaritan laws to, unfortunately, protect Good Samaritans. We have Good Sam, who tells us where good campgrounds and things are, right? There's even, for those of you like me who love comic books, there's a superhero named the Samaritan, right? To us, Samaritans are good things, right? Because Jesus tells us about this Good Samaritan. So when we read the parable of the Good Samaritan, we get the idea, but what we miss is the impact that this story had on Jesus' audience. I like to retell the Good Samaritan parable so that we as 21st century Christians in the United States can better understand just how radical this was for Jesus to be saying, and to his audience and everything. So I like to think that this is how Jesus would tell this parable in our day and time. A certain man is traveling down Highway 27, and somebody runs him off the road. Some road rage happens, right? He probably got pulled out in front of. You know how people do. Road rage happens. Guy gets run off the road, the other guy jumps out of the car, beats him up, leaves him for dead, off he goes. Time goes by and this man is sort of in and out of consciousness. And a Democrat comes by. And the Democrat sees this man laying in the ditch. He says, "Where are the police? Where is the fire department? Where is the ambulance? I bet this guy doesn't even have insurance. You know what? Don't you worry, sir. I'm going to go down and I'm going to lobby and I'm going to fight for the government to make sure that you have adequate health care, that you have adequate health insurance, that there's enough police out here so that they can stop this type of stuff from happening. This guy probably was on drugs, so we're going to make sure that there's plenty of drug programs. All these things. Don't you worry, I will make sure this never happens again." And off the Democrat goes. Now at this point, the Republicans in the crowd are going, "Yeah, you know those Democrats, all they want to do is have the government do everything. They just want the government to fix everything. They don't want to do anything themselves. It's all the government. We have to pay for it. You know how Democrats are." So then Jesus says, a little while later, a Republican shows up. And the Republican sees this man, and he says, "What's happened? You know, if we had better gun laws, where this guy could have just had a gun, he should have been carrying an M16 in his trunk. This never would have happened. Don't you worry. I'm going to call up the NRA. We're going to march on Washington. We're going to make sure that there are adequate gun laws. Your Second Amendment right is protected. You will never have to worry about this again. And off he goes. And of course, the Democrats in the crowd are going, yeah, well, you know how those Republicans are. They just think that the answer is just violence and all this kind of stuff. They don't ever want to help anybody. The moderates in the crowd are going, all of y'all are idiots, right? So Jesus continues. He says, a little while later, as the man is in and out of consciousness, Osama bin Laden shows up. And he sees this man. And he has compassion on him. He says, this man is hurt and possibly dying. I'm going to take him to the hospital, right? Does anybody here work at Rome Medical? Okay, I can't make my Rome Medical joke. So he goes to Rome Medical, the finest facility in all of East Tennessee. And when people don't work at Rome Medical, you make fun of it. When they do, you praise and extol its virtues. I love Rome Medical, by the way, so don't go back and tell them, you know, I don't want anybody marching. So he takes him to Rome Medical, and he tells them, listen, I don't know if this man even has insurance. Don't worry about it. Here's some money. Whatever else happens, send the bill to me, and I will take care of this man, whatever happens. And then Jesus looks at the Democrats and the Republicans and the moderates, and he says, which one acted like a Christian towards this man? I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure that out, right? It's Osama bin Laden, the guy that planned the 9/11 attacks. The guy that, when the SEALs took him out, people were cheering. I mean, hanging off of light posts and things, excited that he was dead. Right? The evil one, the closest thing to Satan that we've had since Hitler, as far as the United States is concerned, right? That is how the Jews viewed the Samaritans. They were scum. They were barely human. They were half-breeds. Heard that term before, right? Talking about people. Anytime you want to depersonalize something, you turn them into a half-breed, right? Nobody liked the Samaritans. Except Jesus. Jesus went into Samaria. You have to understand, if you look at Israel, let's use our imaginations. Here we have Israel, right? It kind of looks like a strip of bacon or something, ironically, because Jews can't have bacon. Looks kind of like a strip of bacon, right? Here at the top and here at the bottom is where the Jews hang out at this period of time. And right here in the middle is Samaria. Now, if we're thinking about our way of thinking, if you take Highway 70 from Rockwood to Kingston, that's the most direct route, right? Makes the most sense to go down there, even though they don't seem to ever be done doing construction. That's how you would go. Well, that's how you should go. But the Jews hated the Samaritans so much that if Highway 70 between Rockwood and Kingston was where the Samaritans lived, the Jews would drive to Harriman, through Harriman, go down around Oak Ridge, come back that way, up 40, and get off at exit 352, just so they didn't have to encounter a Samaritan. And Jesus went into Samaria all the time, because Jesus didn't care. Jesus didn't see Samaritans. He saw people created in God's image. So Jesus tells this parable. And the people realize Jesus just mocked the two holiest people groups in our culture. He did. And he praised the people group that we hate. So what does that mean? What does that mean, right? How does that apply to us? It's very simple. I've lived in Roane County, let's see, about 11 years now, I guess. So it'll be 11 years this December, technically. I've lived in Roane County long enough to know kind of how Roane County culture works, right? We all know that Kingston's where the rich people live, right? That's where Kingston is. Kingston's where the rich people live. Except for the people over in 10 Mile on the lake, they're also the rich people. But the people in 10 Mile not on the lake, they're the poor people, right? Harriman is that place that still hasn't figured out that the mines left. You know, like Harriman is, we're still Harriman, even though everybody's going, yeah, but your houses are kind of looking shabby, but we're still Harriman, right? Harriman's kind of in denial about the situation. Then we got old Rockwood over here. A dear lady that I know who has lived in Rockwood her entire life once told me that Rockwood is the armpit of Roane County. That's what she told me. She said, I love Rockwood. I've lived here my entire life. I love Rockwood, but it's the armpit of Roane County. You hear that stuff, right? People say, oh, I'm going to go to Rockwood over here. The only people who love Rockwood in Roane County are people who live in Rockwood. I mean, that's the way it is, right? When I went to Walmart the other day, there was a lady there, and I told her they had given me a church here. And she said, oh, where is it? And I said, oh, it's Rockwood United Methodist. Oh, Rockwood's such a beautiful, wonderful place. You'll really love it, you know, because she's from Rockwood, and she loves Rockwood. But I guarantee you, Kingston, Harriman, and these other weird, you know, midtowns like Harriman, but not, it's strange. They all go, at least we're not Rockwood, right? Rockwood is the West Virginia of Roane County. But I don't care. I don't care. Because here's the thing. Rockwood has poor people in it. Rockwood's like, gosh, 95% in poverty. Like, that's how many people technically, according to census statistics and all, in Rockwood are in poverty. 95%. I don't care. Jesus didn't have any money either. So what? I've heard that this congregation, now we know, we're just getting old. We're just old. Y'all, Moses was a lot older than you when he led the people out of Egypt. If Paul can tell Timothy, don't let people look down on you because you're too young, he'd probably say the same thing to all the people saying, I'm too old to. You're not too old. I don't care that you're old. Who cares? I don't care. I've heard, well, you know, we got these people that, you know, they just get mad about stuff. I don't know if y'all know this, but people get mad about stuff. And it usually is not stuff that matters, right? I'll tell y'all about me. My last two appointments, I had one person get mad at me and leave because I talked about my dog too much. They left for a year. They finally came back, and I was just like, hey, how you guys doing? Hadn't seen you in a while, you know. Because I knew why they left, but why be petty, right? Then in my last appointment, I had a guy get mad at me because I talked about hemorrhoids. I don't remember talking about them. I don't. Nobody remembers this except for this man, but that's why he left. He was mad. People get mad about stuff. I don't care. That has nothing to do with why the church is here. Another good one that I hear, and this just kind of happens all around, not just in Rockwood, but all around. Well, you know, the Baptist church, they've always got something going on. Everybody's there. The Baptist church is taking everybody. I don't care. I don't care. For one thing, we're not Baptist. We're Methodist. We're all Christians. We absolutely are all Christians. But every time I hear the Baptist this, the Baptist that, I think about, remember in the Gospel of John, when Jesus has come back and he made breakfast of fish, which I don't know, I love Jesus very much, but when I get to heaven, I'm gonna ask him why he thought fish was a good thing to cook for breakfast. But they have this breakfast, right? And Peter is, you know, he feels pretty bad. He should feel bad, right? I mean, he pretty much embarrassed himself. So he's hiding off in the corner over here. He's doing that whole, I'm here, but I don't want anybody to see me, but I wish they would see me, but I want to pretend like that. You know that kind of thing. Anybody who has ever had a crush on a really pretty girl knows how that works. You know, you don't want her to see you because you're too cool, but you also, you know. So Peter's hanging out over here, and Jesus walks over to him, and he says, Peter, do you love me? We have that whole thing. And Peter gets tired of it, and he says, how come you're not asking John all these questions? And Jesus says, if I want John to live until the second coming, what business is that of yours? You feed my sheep. When I hear the Baptist this, the Baptist that, whatever, if God wants the Baptist church to have 10,000 people and all the children in the surrounding five counties, okay. That's wonderful. Praise God. God put Rockwood United Methodist Church here for a specific purpose, for a specific reason. And when we say things like, Rockwood is the armpit of Roane County and it's just a bunch of poor people who are on meth and all this kind of stuff, you know what I say? Praise the Lord, that sounds like ministry to me. You know, I mean, you can't do ministry in the midst of everybody that doesn't need any help, right? I mean, if you were a doctor and everybody was healthy, you'd go out of business, right? We're in the business of building the kingdom of God. If the kingdom of God is already built, what are we doing here? I mean, that's just simple, right? When I hear I'm too old, you know what I hear? When I hear I'm too anything, not just I'm too old, when I hear I'm too anything, this is what I hear. God is too small, and I am bigger than him. You know what we call that in church doctrine? We call that blasphemy. You know what blasphemy is? Blasphemy is saying, essentially, I'm God. I know better than God. I speak for God. If God says something I don't agree with, I say, God doesn't know anything, I do it. It's blasphemy, and guess what? Thankfully, we live under the covenant of grace, but the Old Testament, you know what the charge for blasphemy was? It was death. That's why they tried to stone Jesus for claiming divinity, because they didn't realize he was God. They thought he was committing blasphemy. So when I hear that, when I say stuff like that, don't get me wrong, I say things like that too. I have my days of doubts. It's blasphemy because we're saying God is too small to do anything. And when I hear the Baptist this, the Baptist that, all that kind of stuff, what I hear is this. The Baptists are building the kingdom of God over there. God must want to build it over here. That's why we're here, right? Look, it doesn't take a genius to figure out. You can look at financial records and say, woe is me, right? You can look at different things that need to be done in the church, maintenance-wise, and say, how are we ever going to fix this stuff, right? You can even do this thing that we all love to do where we say, boy, it used to be, we used to have, there used to be. God freed us from the past. Not so we would forget the past, but so that we would remember that he freed us from the past. And that includes the things that we used to do. What I care about is all of you sitting here. I absolutely care about all of you sitting here. I care about Rockwood. It may be the armpit, but guess what? There's deodorant, right? I care about the poor people. I care about the rich people. You know what? I'm just going to tell you all, and this is not to toot my own horn, it's just so you understand. When Osama bin Laden died, I wasn't happy. I said, the world is a better place without him. But my heart breaks, just as God's heart breaks, that he allowed the image of God to be marred so much that it led to that. Brothers and sisters, I don't know where God is going to take this church. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball, which is good because, well, the district superintendent might have something to say if I had a crystal ball up here and everything. But I don't have a crystal ball. God does speak to me, but it's not usually, you know, like big booming voice and, hey, Sam, today we're going to... It's not usually like that. I don't have a time machine. I don't have that contraption that Superman has in the Fortress of Solitude where he can see into the future. I know all of you read Superman religiously, so you know, you get my references. I don't have any of those things to look at the future. I can't predict the future. But I can tell you this. If Rockwood United Methodist Church closes its doors tomorrow, Jesus is still Lord. He still reigns, and he still loves Rockwood and wants the kingdom of God built in this part of the country. Let's stop living in worry and fear. Let's not be reckless and careless. God gives us wisdom as well as faith. Let's not be reckless and careless, but let's also not say, we're too old, we're not Baptist, it used to be this way. Groan, groan, moan, moan. Because you know what? If that's how we're going to live, I can call the bishop tomorrow and say, well, you might as well find me another appointment because we've just decided that we don't want to be here anymore. And sell this property and, you know, so on and so forth. But I don't want to do that. I hope y'all don't want to do that either. So let's quit worrying about what happened. Let's quit worrying about what we're not. Let's quit worrying about what needs to be done. Let's follow Jesus. Because Jesus took 12 men and about 3 to 5 women. One of the men betrayed him. 10 of the men abandoned him. One hung around, and the women, because, well, when all else fails, you know you can count on the women, right? That's just how it is. I hate to tell any of the chauvinists out there, but history just proves that when all else fails, you can count on the women. So, and then he was crucified, and he died. And you know what the disciples said? They said, well, that sure was a good ministry. I wonder what we're going to do next. Hope they don't come after me. And then on Easter morning, the women went to the tomb, and they didn't find Jesus. And they came back, and they said, Jesus has been resurrected. And the disciples said, well, these women have been drinking again. We better go see what really happened. And they found out that Jesus was actually resurrected. The women were right. And Jesus spent roughly 40 days preparing his disciples, and he ascended. And from that point, through everything from intense, severe, life-threatening, life-altering persecution to just general, what are we going to do now? The church grew, and the church grew, and the church grew. And Christianity is the number one largest religion in the world. And it actually, you can't tell it in our country, but guess what? I hate to tell you all this, but the United States isn't the only country that exists in the world. But in the world, Christianity is the fastest growing religion because God doesn't care if you're the armpit of Roane County. God cares that you say, here I am, Lord. Where you lead, I will follow, even if it's to the cross. So brothers and sisters, as we prepare to take Holy Communion together, let us remember that Holy Communion is not just juice and crackers, bread and wine if you're Catholic or Anglican. Holy Communion is a symbol that Jesus Christ, who we call our Lord, who we call our Savior, who we come here to worship, who we claim to believe is the name above all names, that he is the one that guides us. And if Jesus guides us, what do we have to fear? Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Help us, Lord, to follow you no matter where you lead us. Help us to be faithful. Help us to not live in fear, but to live in love and power. Lord, as we prepare our hearts for Holy Communion, may we be reminded that Holy Communion brings us together around a table at which everyone is welcome. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. I know that Keith will have it up on the screen here. If you want to follow along in the United Methodist hymnal, it begins on page 12, Service of Word and Table 2 for Holy Communion. Before we get started, would anybody like to volunteer to help me with the elements? Be an usher, anything? Whoever wants to, it doesn't matter to me. So, okay, you already set up? Good. That's good. Thank you, I appreciate it. Let's begin on page 12. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you'll all take a moment of silence to prepare your hearts for Holy Communion. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. And then if you're following along with me and not up there, we're skipping over to page 13. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks to Christ.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you. He broke the bread. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now with the confidence of children of God, let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Since y'all are set up, you know what to do. So But before we partake, I just want to remind you that the United Methodist Church has open communion. The only requirement to take communion in the United Methodist Church is that you love Jesus. And only you and Jesus ultimately know that. So all are welcome, and all are also welcome to abstain. So if I could have those who are going to assist me.